Friends, it's time for my favorite program, which is, of course, Blind Like Me. I'm Phil Parr, and we have a couple of folks with us. Tiffany Black is with us from, where are you, Tiffany? You're in somewhere on Pacific time.
Mm-hmm. Northern Oregon.
In Northern Oregon. All right. What's the weather like up there?
Well, it's warmer than it ought to be.
Is that right?
Well, we were at 51 an hour and a half ago.
That's not bad. 51. It's cold here. Carla is with us from Sherman?
Denison.
I never can keep that straight. Carla Thompson is with us. And Carla has had an interesting day so far. You'd think in Denison, Texas, things would just be quiet and normal and nothing exciting would ever happen. But that's not true in Carla's life, is it, babe?
It's never that simple here, ever.
Yeah.
I don't know how I managed to get into some of my situations when I don't even leave my house half the time, but never simple.
All right. Well, tell us your never simple peanut butter story. Those of you who are eating peanut butter, you might stop after you hear this story. Go ahead.
All right. We all got the FDA announcement this morning about the contaminated peanut butter, Peter Pan and Great Value, made out of this Conagra plant, either in Alabama or Georgia. I don't remember. Anyway, but this batch starts off with the numbers 2111, and they're on the lid of the peanut butter jar.
Yes.
And they have salmonella. So I go and have my son look at the lid, and sure enough, I've got one of these jars, and it's already been eaten out of, and I know that my husband is the one who's eaten out of it. And So then I'm watching our new news, and our newswoman here is interviewing one of our local doctors, and she says, well, what if it is already in our community? And I'm thinking, chick, it is in our community. So I pick up the phone, call our news station, and I said, just a little FYI, it is in our community. I said, and I have a jar of it. And he said, oh, can we come over and interview you? And I said, about my peanut butter? I said, are you kidding me? No. I said, it's a jar of peanut butter. Do you want to come by and get it? You want it? He said, no, we want to talk to you. And I said, over a jar of peanut butter. He said, it adds a personal touch to the story.
Well, it's a slow news day in Denison there. It has to be.
And I said, well, I have a phone interview to help out on at 1:30. If you can do it before then, fine.
Wrong.
And he said, are you doing an interview with another TV station? I said, no, I'm helping out with an interview for American Council of the Blind Radio.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm blind, and when you guys get here, be prepared. They come on in, and I told the camera guy, I said, don't expect me to make direct eye contact with that camera, because it is not...
Were you holding the jar of peanut butter during the interview?
Part of it I was. Yeah. I said, you want me to be like Carol Merrill and hold it up, you know, like the girls off Price is Right?
Makes you stick to the roof of your car, right?
Something.
I guess not.
Anyway, that and Prison Break is filming two scenes out at our local area lake. That's our news day today.
See, you know, I had a nap this morning and ate a cheese sandwich for lunch. It's just pathetic, the stuff Carla gets into. Anyway, that's her day, and we were going to interview Tiffany Black. Tiffany makes all kinds of shampoos and soaps, and I don't know what all. We're going to let her tell you about. Tiffany, what is your level of vision? Are you totally blind?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm total.
Where did you go? Have you been total blind all your life or not?
Well, I've never had 20/20 vision. In fact, the only, they had to put a number on the paper when I was a kid, so they put me at 22,000. But I've never been able to see really well. I used to be able to see really, when I had my cornea transplant, I could see really bold, about 3-inch high print.
Uh-huh.
But I think that's the best it's ever been.
So you've had eye problems all your life, right?
Oh, yeah.
And what did they do when they decided to school you as a young child? They sent you to public school?
Oh, yeah. I did the public school thing. I did a little bit of school for the blind in high school, but mostly public school.
A little school for the blind, but mostly public school. Now, were you the only blind child in public school?
I think there was one other, but he was year ahead of me, so we never met up with each other.
Is that right? And you made nice grades, and they provided Braille books for you, or did they teach you to read Braille?
I did learn Braille. My parents had to make them, and it's a good thing they did because I wouldn't have been able to read print after I was 14.
Yeah.
And it would have been a lot harder to teach me Braille when I was 14 because I was a brat.
Because you were a what?
I was a brat.
You were a brat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Glad we've got that straight. You and Carla, that's why you and Carla get along so well. But here's the thing.
Yeah, and pretty much.
So they taught you Braille, but you were with sighted kids. Did you have any social life in high school or not?
No, I didn't.
Really?
No.
That happens so often to blind kids that go to public high schools. The excited kids just don't know how to take them. I mean, they don't know how to deal with them, especially boys. They don't have any. They don't know how to deal with themselves when they're 15 years old, much less a little blind girl.
The boys were horrible.
Really? I bet you made good grades, though.
No, well, I did until I got to about third grade.
Until you got to third grade?
Mm-hmm.
What happened then?
Oh, I don't know. I switched schools. I don't know if it's the difference in schools or what, but... everything kind of went downhill from there.
Close Encounters of the Third Grade. All right. So you finished public. Did you do any college? What did you think you wanted to do for a living when you got out of school?
Oh, well, first I was going to be a kindergarten teacher because I like kids. And then I said, no, I don't want to do that. I want to do rehab work with blind people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I took algebra.
Algebra did you in. You finished college, you didn't get a degree, or you did, or what?
Well, I did two quarters of college, and that was just it.
Is that right? So from there you decided to move out on your own, and you didn't figure you needed a degree to make it, huh?
Well, I knew, you know, it would be better to have one, but I just knew that I was never going to be a good student, and so I decided I'd better look elsewhere for work.
All right. Well, how old are you?
I'll be 32 in May.
So you're just a child compared to me, people. All right. So how did you get into this making soaps and shampoos?
Well, it's my sister's fault, really. Christmas of 2005, she gave me a soap making kit. One of those you can get at the craft store. I ended up using probably 2/3 of it on Christmas Day.
Really? So you decided that making soap was something you would enjoy doing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it was so much fun, you know, playing around with how much color to add and fragrance and finding out how long it took for the soap to, you know, harden up and... Yeah, it was fun, and so then I got online, started looking at where to buy more soap stuff,
and there we go.
Things like bath salt and shower gel, shampoo, lotion. Every time I go on there, I see something new.
But there were instructions with this soap making kit to show you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Someone read you those.
Mm-hmm.
And you went from there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you make these for sale, or do you just make them for personal use?
Well, mostly for personal use. Once in a while I sell them, but the difficulty is just now I was out in the country, and my mom also drives my grandparents who haven't got any business driving anymore.
Yeah.
So it's a little more difficult for me to actually get out and mail packages that I, you know, have to get out.
That's always the deal with blind people, is you have a hard time, you know, finding a way to mail the package. But Carla has a... How did you find out about her, Carla? What did you get?
Well, I met her on For the People, and we kind of hit it off, and then she started talking about these things that she makes. And then when we did Secret Santa, her Secret Santa person got a whole basket of her homemade bath stuff, and I was just thrilled, and I was like, Tiffany, I need to know what your scents are. I need to know what your prices are, because I want to order some. I'll pay some shipping. That's how I got, you know, that's how she and I really started talking. And then I find out that she also makes these animals, and she has an extremely large collection of music boxes, and she makes these animals, and she puts music boxes in them, too.
Make animals and put music boxes in them.
Mm-hmm. You explain that better, Tiffany.
Tiffany, tell us about that.
Well, it's actually the musical movement that I put inside of, I've got a teddy bear I'm making right now. And I've just put the musical movement inside. There's these double-sided sticky things that you can get that are cut to fit the back of the unit. And just stick it right to the side of the crochet on the inside and then push the key through.
And that's really all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a zipper in the back of the animal that you unzip, right?
No.
No,
I put it in while I'm crocheting it.
Oh, you put it in while you're crocheting. So you don't buy animals?
No.
I make them. Oh. Well, you're a busy girl. You need to find a way to sell some of this stuff.
Oh, I know. It would be great, but it's all that transportation. You know, I've chosen to live out in the country because I'm a lot happier out here than being a city route. And, unfortunately, part of that is transportation just isn't so easy to get.
This is out with your grandparents.
Oh, well, actually, I live with my parents. My grandparents live about 7 miles from us.
But your parents live out in the country, so you got no way to get into town and no way to mail packages.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame, because I think you could probably do all right on the Internet selling these kinds of things. You might, you know, get our friend Dale. He has a lot of experience doing that.
Yeah, actually, I've talked to Dale a long time ago, because I used to have... Well, I took out the website up as a piece of junk. That only has my music boxes on it, and I had that address down at the bottom of my emails ages ago. And Dale saw that and said, "Oh, I'm interested."
Well, he might sell some of your stuff at his site, Blind My Smart. You know,
I bet he would. The problem would be getting it to him. But then, of course, if I made him big enough packages, I could just send him UPS.
Yeah, if you send it, because I think UPS or one of the two used to come and pick up packages from here.
So will the post office now.
UPS comes to see me. They will even get packages this morning, dropping off something for my mom.
The post office will pick things up, Carla, now?
Yeah, and you can do it all online, too.
Really?
You can do UPS online, too.
Well, you need to show her.
I got UPS online, but I got to look into this post office online thing.
You need to show her how to do these things.
And it tells you how to print out postage, and it tells you... my mail girl told me just to weigh it on my talking bathroom scales.
And, I got one of those scales, the kitchen scale that I got from Dale.
That actually would weigh it absolutely correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I use it all the time. I use it to weigh my
stuff,
and I use it to weigh my packages.
Also, Tiffany has just developed a shaving butter.
A what? This is for women's shaving.
Oh, no.
Oh, men can use this, too.
Actually, I'm targeting guys with this one, because...
She has male fragrances.
Shaving butter. Now, that's a new one to me. Shaving cream I've heard of, but not shaving butter.
It's a bit thicker than shaving cream. It's actually about the consistency of...
margarine.
Well, yeah, about. And what was my dad's fault, actually. He came up with the idea to put it into, like, a chapstick tube. And then you just put a little bit on your face. You get it wet, and it foams up. And then, you know, it's just like shaving cream. You shave yourself.
How would you come up with it? I mean, did you read about that somewhere? Or how would you get an idea like that?
Well, it was one of those things that I ran into online when I was picking up lotion supplies. And they said, here's this stuff. It's called foaming bath butter, but it can also be used as a shaving cream. And I'm like, hey, I want to try this.
And you did, and you got your father to try it, and it proved to be good. Shaving butter. That's a new, wow. What did I come up with next? That world just keeps turning. No, it's amazing. You and Carla need to get together. Maybe she can help you get lined up with postage and those kind of things and sell some stuff online.
I have a feeling I'm going to corner her later and talk about this.
Do what now?
I think I'm going to have to talk to her later about this over on FTP or on MSN or something.
Yeah, go in one of the...
And she's got additives. I mean, you can put, you can have her do stuff that's scent-free with lanolin, like for sensitive skins. I mean, you can really customize pretty much what you want from her. It's like, you know, it's like she said, though, just the shipping is what her big hurdle is. But otherwise, she's like a little mad scientist in there working. I can just
making,
picture her.
Making,
you know,
different fragrances and different things.
Oh, yeah.
I love playing with fragrances. I have so much fun because especially mixing and matching things. Like the other day, somebody said something about her favorite scents were vanilla and rose, and I was in a funny mood, so I said, I wonder what happens if I mix them.
Vanilla and rose.
Mm-hmm.
What did you like it?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's interesting because I've got two different kinds of rose. One of them is kind of a baby oil smell, and one of them is more of a strong red rose smell.
Mm-hmm.
And the baby oil one, when you mix vanilla with it, it you get this, when you first smell it, it smells an awful lot like strawberries and cream. And then it gets rosy. It's really interesting. And then the other one, it smells like roses with sugar mixed in.
Smells like something you'd want to eat?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, you've graduated long since graduated from the little soap maker that you got for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you have, what do you mix this stuff in? Do you have kettles or pots or, how do you?
Well, would you believe I have an old mug that I was very attached to, and it got a chip, so, you know, it wasn't suitable for drinking out of. And I just melt my things in that because, it's, you know, it just goes in the microwave for a minute and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it's melted, and then you, you know, mix everything up and pour it in the mold.
And so you can buy supplies online to do this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not obviously not the only one doing it. There are other people making homemade things like this because there's a place online to buy stuff that will send you supplies.
I've got, I think, 7 in my favorites.
Now what?
I think I've got 7 different websites, my favorites that I go to.
Oh, okay. Places that you can buy different oils and different different things. Well, all we need is a market. A business is born. Entrepreneurship right here.
Oh, yeah. And that stuff's big. That stuff's hot.
Well, that stuff's hot this time. This day and time it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Especially if you can customize it, because I was thinking about, you know, especially people with sensitive skin or babies or, you know, stuff like that, and when she sent me her scent list, and I bet you she's got 40 scents on there, plus the stuff that she makes up, and one, you know, with her mixtures that she does, it's incredible. Tiffany, how many music boxes do you have?
I think it's somewhere, I think it's around 345.
How many?
Tunes, but I've got about 3 of these. So
345.
I really have about 900 components in my bedroom.
900 music boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord. That's unreal. That is really unreal. It's a shame you don't live down here, so we could figure out how to sell some of this stuff.
I'd have her working 24/7.
And you love to crochet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said the other day you made shampoo. How do you know how to make shampoo?
Well, I think it was from the Soap Crafters website that I got the instructions. Actually, there are 2 places that I can get 2 different kinds of shampoo base. One, it sets up immediately because you don't use a blender.
Okay.
However, it comes in smaller things, and it's a little more expensive to buy the base. So I buy this other base that's actually versatile enough. You can use it for hand soap, body, you know, shower gel.
Uh-huh.
And bubble bath, and you name it. And it's a lot less expensive, but it's really thick. You have to use a stick blender to mix it up. So then it has to sit for a day and so that all the bubbles come out.
Now, this is this shampoo base that you buy.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be used for several things. What would be the difference in making a shampoo or a body oil? I guess the body oil would be much thinner, of course, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you would add to this the scent that you wanted the shampoo to be, and that's all. Mm-hmm. That's what you do?
Yeah, and you color it if you feel like. I don't normally color shampoos, but sometimes, like for my sister, if I give her two different scents, because she's off in college, so sometimes we ship her big packages of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll color one color and one the other color, so she can tell them apart.
But you can't see the colors.
I can't, actually. I pretty much use my mom because she's really good at telling colors apart, because the color detector that I have, it won't work on liquids.
It won't work on liquids?
No, because liquids are see-through, so they let the light through. And as soon as you let light through, the color detector can't do a thing for you.
Okay, I never thought about that, because I thought you could. Obviously, you thought you could, too.
Yeah, I tried it.
That's why you have
it. It doesn't work.
Okay, so this base comes, and you decide, I want to make body oil, so then you have to thin it some way, right?
Yeah.
Add water to it, or do what?
Yep, add water.
And that would make it thinner for making a body oil or some sort of face cream or something that you'd want to be that you didn't want as thick as shampoo.
Well, actually, it wouldn't make face cream. It would make like shower gel. Shower gel, you have to add a little more water than you do for shampoo. And then also the other difference between shower gel and shampoo is that you put glycerin in it, liquid glycerin.
What does that do for anybody, glycerin?
It makes it suds a little bit more.
For the shampoo?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, in the shower gel.
Oh, in the shower gel. I know nothing of shower gel. What do women do with that?
Well, it's basically it's liquid soap that's got moisturizing things in it.
Okay, it takes the place of soap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My wife is just not into these things, so I don't know about them.
Mm-hmm.
My wife doesn't wear any makeup, and she's just not into these kinds of things, so I don't know about it. Well, that's just interesting. But it all comes from the same base.
Mm-hmm. So do you add lanolin in, like for moisturizer and stuff, into those products?
Mm-hmm. And I like to put in aloe vera, too.
Yeah.
I've got a great big gallon thing of aloe vera. And actually, I got a syringe from Ann Morris that works really wonderfully with that for me because, you know, it has little notches for half ounce and ounce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's your biggest difficulty being blind and doing this? Burning yourself, possibly? Or do you just... What do you think?
I am not afraid of burns, but there are people who are uncomfortable with heat. But, however, since you're doing it in a microwave, you're not likely to...
Yeah.
Experience that much. I think the thing that most people would not like is being worried about making a mess. And actually, I don't really care that much because, I mean, it's soap. It's going to, you know, you just get a little wet and you wipe it up, or you can peel it off if it's on the right kind of surface.
Do you have a special place where you do this, or do you just do it in your mama's kitchen?
Well, I was doing it in the kitchen, but now I actually do it in my bedroom because all my stuff is in there and it's just easier to not have to carry everything out.
But the microwave isn't in there.
Actually, it is. I have a microwave in a small little refrigerator in my room.
Oh, you have your own microwave in your room.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're all set up. We can just figure out a way to sell your stuff. So you do animals and you do these body products and what else?
Well, you know, I was just thinking today that a long time ago I was going to do lamp making. I haven't started yet.
Do what now?
Lamp making.
Lamp making.
Yeah.
The
place that I buy most of my music boxes from, it's called National Art Craft, and they carry all kinds of different craft things. And one of them that caught my attention was lamp making. I thought, gee, you know, I bet I could assemble lamps.
Okay,
oh, well, there's,
be on Blind Handyman now.
Well, there's
she
no...
She be on the list. She also wants to build a clock, is another one
yes,
of her
do.
Goals.
Yes, I do. I've always been fascinated by clocks, so I want to make clocks at some point.
Well, a clock is... I mean, you don't make the clock. You make the frame and put a clock works in it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
I
think it's fun, though.
You buy... What do you want to make a clock out of?
Well, the other place I get music boxes from is called Clock It, spelled with a K instead of a C in the front there.
Uh-huh.
And they have got all kinds of different faces and all kinds of different hands and things. They got one they got a couple I really want. There's one with red roses and there's one with violets. My favorite color is purple, so I think I'd go violets first.
And in what, but you've got to have a frame to put this clock face on and a frame, something
to
put.
Yeah, that's what's holding me back, is that I would probably have to have Dad do the actual frame part.
No, not if you had the tools, you wouldn't. You could.
Mm-hmm.
You could, we could.
Yeah, he's got the tools out in the garage, and, you know, that's his domain. So
he's not going to let you mess with his tools.
Oh, well, I don't know about that, but I'm certainly not going to try to find anything out there.
Well,
oh, okay.
Some of these blind guys who do woodworking will amaze you. I just am, like Dale Levins, he just blows me away. You know, just a lot of those guys off the handyman list.
Well, see, he'd be a good one to make the clock frames for you.
Mm-hmm. So then you'd have to ship them all the way from Texas, so I could put the clock in and then ship it all the way back to Texas.
This guy's in Canada, the one I'm talking about, Dale Levins.
Oh, okay.
Not Dale Campbell.
He's in Canada, but he's a long way from you.
Yeah, that would be.
But
international shipping is murder.
I bet you can buy clock frames. I bet you can buy. Well, you know you can. All kinds of.
Mm-hmm.
With the internet, there's all kinds of possibilities.
Oh yeah.
Sounds like
every time I turn around, she is going, I'm fixing to try this. I'm fixing to try this.
Why not?
I'm going to make buttons, and I'm just going, golly, this girl that tries everything that.
You're going to make buttons? What kind of? What are you talking about?
I heard a podcast. Which podcast was that? I think it was Crafty Pod. And,
yeah, it was the history of buttons.
Yeah, she was talking about the history of buttons and how to make buttons, and I was thinking, this is fun. I want to do this.
Well, buttons made out of what? Plastic or buttons made out of what?
Well, there are ways to do them out of plastic. Actually, there are ways to do them out of yarn with little washers.
Okay, inside, and then you put the yarn over the washer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's possible to do.
Mm-hmm. That I could do while just sitting around talking to people.
Yeah, you could be doing that while you're being interviewed here on the...
I could.
You could. Well, you're an enterprising young lady. I hope you can figure out a way to sell some of this stuff and make yourself a living doing it. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It would.
Move out and move to town and buy a car, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Do you have a website up?
Well, I have an old one that is really kind of crummy.
Yeah.
It's really kind of embarrassing. I've been working on a new one for a year that's got all my soaps and everything on it. But web building is not my favorite thing to do. Very tedious.
Web building is not what you want to do.
No, it's not my favorite.
HTML language is not what you want to write in.
Well, I don't even know HTML, so I use a web building thing that Earthlink provides.
Uh-huh.
And it works for the most part, but a blind person cannot create tables independently.
Do you have an email address that you might, because there might be some folks interested in the same things you're interested in who might want to contact you, and so if you have an email address, well, what would it be?
Okay, well, I'll give you the easy one. It's lovingcraft@earthlink.net.
It's what now? 11?
No, lovingcraft.
Oh, lovingcraft.
L-O-V-I-N-G.
Lovingcrafts at Hotmail?
No, at Earthlink.
What, Earthlink? Loving, I can't hear today. Loving Crafts at Earthlink, and that you check that quite often. I mean, if somebody writes you, you run them back.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Actually, I have it set up so that when I my Outlook checks it every day, just goes on and looks at Earthlink. Actually, I think every 5 minutes it looks to see if something's come through.
I'm surprised that name wasn't taken. Loving Crafts.
Yeah, no, that one wasn't taken.
That's good. At earthlink.com. All right, Tiff, we're going to... it's .net? It is .net.
Mm-hmm, .net.
All right, we're going to go, and when you get a way to sell products and you figure out how to ship things, you give me a call or give Carla a call, and we'll announce it here on the program, okay?
Yeah, well...
Is that a fair deal?
That's the idea, so I'll have to go look at the USPS site.
Well, maybe y'all can
We are so thrilled that you joined the Blind Like Me list.
Mm-hmm.
You can maybe y'all can get together in a For the People have some two person rooms and work this out, because if she's right about the post office, then you've got it made. I mean, they'll come get your packages, and I know
I'll start marketing you, girlfriend.
Yeah, really.
You can be the mad scientist. I'll be your peddler.
That'll be good. All right, Tiffany, thanks much, and we'll talk with you.
Uh-huh, you have a good day.
All right, you too. Well...
Bye, Tiff.
Well, she was a good guest, but she needs a way to sell her stuff, doesn't she?
Yes, yes. That girl is always doing something.
Yeah.
Ways. And she does a radio show on For the People. She's got her finger.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Pies.
We didn't ask her about that. What does she
play? I know. She does Monsters Musicals.
What does she
on
play?
Saturday.
What sort of things does she play on Monsters Musicals?
Stuff from musicals. She's a big band person. And she does all different. She'll feature a musical, and then she'll play connect the songs, and she'll have three different songs.
Oh, okay.
She'll feature a musical, but then she'll play songs from other musicals too, and she'll tell about the musical. You know, she'll tell about the history of the musical and, you know, awards that it won and everything. Mm-hmm. And then she has three different songs, and you have to find the connection on the three songs. And she makes some tough.
Okay. All right. I know somebody. There's one of the networks does that same kind of thing, and she's on Saturday afternoons.
Yeah.
On Eastern time at what, 5 or 6?
5, I think.
On the For the People radio.
Yeah.
So, but you have to be a member of For the People to be there. That's the only problem with For the People radio, is that the general public can't just dial in and listen, you know?
True. That's true.
True, true. All right. I'm going to go find me some more guests. We love you. And
I'm working on an attorney, hopefully, from Virginia.
Remember, don't eat any peanut butter.
Honey, don't worry. How damn bizarre was that?
It was the wildest thing in the world. Thanks, Carla. I appreciate you.
All right, I'll see you. Kiss Luann for me.
I will. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It is my fervent belief that blind persons, regardless of race, creed, color, or party affiliation, should have the same information concerning United States currency as their sighted brethren.
If you think this is a great idea, thanks to the American Council of the Blind, there is something you can do.
You'll find a screen reader friendly site and an online petition waiting for you at www.moneyforall.info.
That's www.moneyforall.info.
Come be a part of history with the American Council of the Blind. www.moneyforall.info.
Well, we have a number of folks that we hang on. We're started. We can't hang on. We're rolling here. There's tape. We're wasting valuable tape. What's he doing? Who knows? I know what he's doing. Oh, a plumber on the way. Well, you know we're recording, so don't say anything you'll be sorry for. So what plumbing problem have you deemed to call a plumber about that you're not going to handle yourself?
Being one that does not like plumbing at all.
Yeah.
Any plumbing problem.
Okay.
Merits a call.
All right.
We have a commode that's stopped up, so.
Sometimes it's best when those things happen to call somebody.
Yes.
I would not fault even the best of Dale Levins if he called it.
I am a believer in the professional touch when it comes to plumbing.
All right. Well, that's good.
He always said that's how he learned to cuss, trying to do plumbing. Yeah.
Well, we haven't introduced you. We've been on a minute here. This is one of the people we depend on. We went to Houston and had no plans. We planned to do a Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me show, and I knew that one of the guys we could count on to talk about something was my buddy Bob Bartlett from Houston. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, Phil. Thank you for asking me again.
Other than that stopped-up plumbing,
yeah.
You're doing quite well.
Well, we had a plumbing problem a week ago, and that one went on. Actually, it started about a month ago, but after the first visit, it took about another 3 weeks to get the plumber back.
Oh, really?
And so we decided it's time to change plumbers.
So, oh, it is?
Yeah. This one I called this afternoon. They'll be here in half an hour. So
one of the luckiest things that happened that's happened to me in the last year is about a year ago, a plumber came into my wife's office and wanted a divorce.
That's got to be a good deal.
And he wanted custody of his children.
Oh, that's even, better.
Which is an expensive thing to do.
Absolutely.
And I said, well, you know, here we go. All the plumbing problems we've had in the past. And this guy, and I've been using him to death. You know, if I see water on the floor, I call him because it's free.
Come and wipe it up.
Yeah,
okay.
Come and clean it up. I got a free plumber till his custody stuff is paid off, and she's of course dragging it out as long as she can.
Bless her heart. She knows the way of the world, doesn't she?
She does. Anyway, that's not what we want to talk about. This isn't the Blind Handyman Show. We're right here to talk about. Are you calling it Career Day, or what is your title?
Yes, it is Career Day 2007. We have held this event in times past, Phil. We had one in 2003 and another one in 2004. Then we took 05 and 06 off, basically. And we've decided to try it again. What we're trying to do is to make blind and visually impaired job candidates better candidates for the employment opportunities that come across their way. And we're working together with the NFB chapters here in town. We're working, I'm representing the Houston Council of the Blind, which is an ACBT chapter here in town. And we also have the Texas Federation, which is another blindness consumer organization that's here in town. The three organizations are working together along with the Division of Blind Services and the Houston Lighthouse for the Blind to try and put this whole thing together.
Okay, now, you're involving just blind people, or do you hope to get some folks who might hire blind people also, I suppose?
All we're trying to do now is make blind people better candidates for employment. A couple of years ago, they tried to include possible employers and to show them the training that blind people have had and how they do things that otherwise sighted people do differently. And that met with a resounding thud because none of the possible employers showed up. So what we're doing is working on the candidacy of blind and visually impaired people because we all know that the unemployment rate is much too high amongst employable blind people. So this is something that ACB and NFB and TFB can all agree on in terms of organizational, political things. And we're working together on this. We just had another planning meeting this past Saturday. So it's all pretty fresh in my mind about what we're doing. But, no, we're just trying. Here's what the program. Let me run the program down
good
for you, Phil.
Appreciate
it. That will give you a little better perspective as to how we're trying to accomplish this.
Before you do that, let me just say that it's wonderful to hear you say that the National Federation of the Blind and the American Council of the Blind and the
Texas Federation.
Texas Federation of the Blind and the Lighthouse and the Foundation and everybody are working together.
Yes.
It's always appeared to me to be such a terrible thing is that we can't all, we all want the same thing, and that is to be included in society and be thought of as capable people and contributors to society. That's what we all want. We just seem to be going at it in different ways. It's just heartening to me to see that, because you're an ACB member, I know that, and you have the NFB there, and that's wonderful. All right, go ahead now and explain your program.
Well, that probably is the coolest thing about this. We can all sit in the room and talk without throwing rocks at each other or brick bats or whatever, so. At any rate, the program is going to begin with our keynote speaker, and I don't know if you know George Toon, but he's a wonderful guy. He used to work here in Houston for the Division of Blind Services, and he is also a motivational speaker and an entertainer. He plays a guitar, maybe not as well as Phil Parr does. But
if he plays at all, he plays better than I do.
He plays a great guitar and sings and has fun doing it. And he's going to be our keynote speaker, keynoting on personal responsibility and personal motivation. The quest for employment is a personal thing. You have to be trained and ready. You have to be motivated. So that's what he's going to talk about. Then we're going to go into some of the other practical aspects of it, that being the interview process and the human resources part of the project, what the interview or the person being interviewed can expect, what the interviewer can talk about, what they can't talk about. We'll talk. We'll have a human resources professional come and do this part of the program. And then right along with that, or right after that, we will have the legal perspective and have our friend Mr. Bautista from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission talk about the law to us. And that's going to encompass a lot of material, and we've tried to give both of our human resources guy and Ray quite a bit of time to so they can explore in depth as well as take questions. Then we'll have a little break, and then let's say after the break, we will go to the employment resources and possible sources of employment. So that's where we're going to have presentation from the Division of Blind Services, and then it presentation from the Houston Lighthouse, and then we'll also have the Texas Workforce Commission represented. I think it's used to be called Workforce Commission, but now it's called Worksource Commission. At least that's what they tell me. So that's what I'm talking about when I say Worksource Commission.
Okay.
These are the people that can actually tell you, okay, here's a person that's looking for this job, and this is these are the characteristics that they want, and this is the training that you have to have, and you know they will work with clients, whether blindsided or whatever, to try and fill work positions. So, and that will take us, you know, it's going to be a highly focused event. We're going to open the doors at 8 o'clock. We'll get cranked up about 8:45 according to the current schedule. We'll go through noon and then have another half hour of questions and answers if they want it, but we'll make all of the presenters available to people for individual consultation as well. We hope to clear out by 12:30 and go on to about our lives and have people that can go and have knowledge enough to say, I can find myself a job now, and I know who I'm going to call and how I'm going to do it, and I am personally motivated to do it. I will take responsibility. I'm going to do it.
Well, there are many things involved in interviewing as a blind person for a job. First of all, you have to look presentable.
Right.
You have to dress accordingly. You can't wear unmatched socks and your slouchy old shirt be out, or, you know, a blind handyman T-shirt is not good to wear. They're wonderful to wear, but not to a job interview.
Probably not the Blind Rifle Association either.
No, not that. And it just depends, unless you're applying for a job as an auto mechanic or something, where people wear T-shirts. But one thing that's going to happen to any blind person who goes and applies for a job, they're going to present you with some situation that they're going to say, I don't know how you could do this as a blind person.
Right.
That's going to happen.
And that's where they're going to have to come forth and say, well, here is the training I've had for that particular function, and here's how I do it.
Yeah.
Here's the adaptive equipment that I need, or here's the adaptation that I am requesting of you to do. And if they know they can request these things from the legal perspective, the employer is going to respect that, because obviously this individual has done his homework, and that's what we're trying to do with this whole event, Phil, help people do their homework, because there's so much about the law that people don't understand. You just can't go in and automatically expect they will do something on your behalf just because you're a nice guy and you're blind. That kind of thing doesn't happen.
Because they don't have to.
That's right. They can fill the job with whoever they want to fill the job with, and they will... They want somebody to do the best possible job for them and be the best employee. You know, one of the other things that you didn't mention, but, you know, you need to show up on time. You need to arrange that transportation to where that if you're going to an interview, you are there early.
Yeah.
So you will be on time for the interview. You know, that is very important for every employer I know of, that they have somebody that's going to show up and show up on time and show up regularly. So.
My wife fights this all the time because we have four, sometimes five ladies that work in her office.
Mm-hmm.
And we fight this thing all the time. One, you know, almost every Monday morning, somebody calls and has a sick baby.
Yeah.
That happens almost every, it didn't happen this morning, but most Mondays that happens. And it's funny that it happens on Monday, isn't it? It's just
pure coincidence.
Pure coincidence. But, yeah, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. When I came, moved to East Texas, I wanted a radio job, and so I went to a little radio station that I knew needed somebody. I knew that from talking to a couple other people that I knew that they were short a person. And I went in and talked to the manager, and he talked pretty favorably, and then he finally said, well, the only thing I don't understand is how are you going to know what song you're playing on the radio? Because at that time, disc jockeys introduced every song.
Right.
And I said, well, I'll tell you what, you go pull a stack of records, and we'll go in the production room, and you play 2 seconds of each record, and I'll tell you what it is, and I won't miss one. And so after about 10 songs, he said, well, I guess you know what you're doing, don't you? Because at that time, I knew the music very, very well.
Yeah, you would have been a hit on Name That Tune.
I would have been. We all, that's one of the old-time disc jockey things. We all should have been on Name That Tune. And he hired me because of he needed somebody. I could do the job. But if I hadn't been able to pass that test, I never would have gotten the job.
Right.
And there's always going to be something. I used to, when I talked at TAB, I said, you know, if you a blind person comes to your radio station and wants a job, if there's something they can't figure out how to do, then you don't need to have any business hiring them. But usually if you present a blind person that's capable and knows what they're doing with any task, they can figure some way to do it.
Well, the Division of Blind Services can be very helpful to a job candidate in this regard. When somebody needs to have the use of a computer, for example, that you're at an office and you have a computer that you are going to have to use, they will come forth and help the employer by saying, we will furnish that copy of JAWS for you that will allow this individual to perform the functions. And, you know, this individual will say, yes, I am well-trained in JAWS. I am well-trained in Microsoft Word. I am well-trained in Excel spreadsheets. I'm well-trained in answering emails, whatever you want to, you know, you have to be ready for the job. You have to be trained to use the computer. But the Division of Blindness Services will not go into the interview with you, but they will be there to support both you and the employer should the time come that the employer says, okay, I'm going to give this a try.
The Division of Blindness Services. Now, is this a new... I never heard of that.
This is what used to be called the Texas Commission for the Blind.
Okay.
Since they're now a part of DARS, the Department of Assistive and Rehabilitative Services...
Yeah.
It's the Division of Blind Services, and I used to call it blindness, too, because that's what I thought it was. I was corrected the other day that it's just blind services, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I think blindness seems more appropriate, but, you know.
Blindness, the Division of Blind Services.
Yeah. It seems like they don't know where they're going somehow, doesn't it?
Well, it seems like they're blind, most of them, and some of them are.
It does happen, yes.
Are they, do you think, of course, you know, when I was a kid, 18 years old, I went to the Commission for the Blind, and I thought their job was to find me a job. Well, it isn't. That's not what they do. But I didn't know that.
One of the things that they do today is they have job readiness training, which is, you know, some of the things we were speaking of earlier in terms of appearance and timeliness and things like that. They do training in that regard, so people really have a firm understanding of why you have to be there on time and why they expect you to be regular in your habits and not show up inebriated or under the weather or anything like that.
Yeah.
They have a job readiness function. They have a specific training procedure for that, too, and that's very useful if you've never been through that. So.
Well, it is a sighted world, and it's up to us to fit in it.
Yes.
It's not up to them to change... to suit us, it's up to us to fit our personalities and our persons in to their to the sighted world. Whether we like that or not, that's the truth. There's a whole lot more of them than there is of us.
Yes.
It's like Custer, you know.
Blindness is a low.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't have a. It's a low occurring disability, but it's significant when it occurs.
It's a hell of an inconvenience, I'll tell you that sometime.
It can be damned annoying.
It can be very annoying. Okay, so what age? Will these be young high school or college graduates, or will these be adults, or what?
We're going to send our flyer out to the current caseload for both our local Division of Blind Services offices. We have two in Houston, one that operates basically north and west, and the other one is basically south and east.
Uh-huh.
They cover a wide geographic area. They'll run this to their caseload, and he said it would probably go to those people in the transition. Well, now the transition group goes down to 10 years old. We're not trying to appeal to those kids. We're looking at kids 18 and above.
Sure.
The ones that are getting ready or trying to be ready and want to be ready and want to be able to get out in the world and have a real job and, you know, get their life going. This will also cover anybody that's been out there, is not satisfied with what they're doing, and wants to do better. So we I think would cover a fairly wide swath.
So actually anybody that wants to attend that needs the services is welcome to this.
Right. Right.
Open to the...
It's open enrollment. We're not having anybody to, you know, we're not asking people to register or make a reservation or anything else. In previous events, Phil, you get a kick out of this, we served lunch, and some folks came just for the lunch. They didn't care anything about before or after.
Yeah.
Which was sort of disappointing, but this year we're not serving lunch. Again, this goes along with our theme of personal motivation, personal responsibility, that if you want to try and better yourself, this is an opportunity that we're going to have for you, and it will be at the Lighthouse on April 21st, Saturday, beginning the doors open at 8 o'clock, and we want people there to get there early because we don't want to, you know, we want to start promptly at 8:45. We don't want to have to wait for anybody else to drag in at 9 or 9:15 because we're going to get going regardless. Of
whether you're there or not.
Whether they're in attendance or whether they're still out riding around.
So now, this is April what, 20?
April 21st. It's San Jacinto Day.
Is that a Saturday?
Yes, it is Saturday.
April 21st, a Saturday.
It will be at the Lighthouse at 3602 West Dallas here in Houston. Entrance number 2 is the one to use. That's the one that'll get you to the activity center where we'll hold
the Lighthouse is still out on West Dallas.
Yes, sir. They've got a great facility now, Phil. I don't know. It's probably been a while since you've toured there, but the new addition has a lot of computer training now and some very nice offices. The store has moved into the new part of the building, and they're just have some wonderful facilities. Very, very
useful. I thought they had closed the store. Is it still open?
I think it's still open.
Yeah.
As far as I know, I was over there this morning because we were doing a interview with Channel 26, a local Fox affiliate, about dragon boat racing. They also are helping to get the Blind Fury Dragon Boat Racing Team.
Are you on a Dragon Boat Racing Team?
Huh?
Are you?
Yes, yes.
Well, that's great.
Oh, heavens yes. We had so much fun last year, we decided we better do it again.
Well, we did a thing from a lady from Oregon who did that, but I wasn't aware that anybody in Houston were doing it. There goes another half show. Don't have time today to get into it, but I'll keep in mind, Bob. I'm writing
your name. It's coming up on May 5th, that particular event. We're practicing now, so.
We'll try to do that before May 5th. I did not realize that you were involved in that. But anyway, back to the Lighthouse. The last time I was at the Lighthouse was probably 1959, so surely there have been many changes.
Pretty substantially, I'm sure, since 1959.
I may actually still owe them money. I'm not sure. I did a weird thing. I took over the broom crew, but I didn't really have the money. So I had the money to buy a truck, but I didn't have the money to stock the truck. So once I got the truck, I went in and said, look, folks, I got a truck to haul these guys around in, and I've hired a driver. You're going to have to front me the money to stock the truck. And they went nuts. So I was 19 years old and never had a job in my life, had no credit. And finally I talked Ms. Rujanek into loaning me, I can't remember, $500.
Uh-huh.
And I think I paid him back, but I wouldn't swear to it. I could still, they may collar me at the door and say, Mr.
Whether
Barr.
Or not it was paid back, that's probably been long enough that the time has run out on the debt. They've written it off. And
surely they've had a fire or something.
Yeah, if we ever see him again, we won't care.
If I come and they say anything, I'll just write them a check.
Yeah.
But that was a long, those were tough, tough times,
yeah.
Bob. It was, that's a hell of a way to make a living. A lot of folks do it and do it well, but it's, so the Lighthouse is a big, expanded, nice facility now.
It's a wonderful facility now, yes, sir. They have excellent training resources for computer training, particularly. That's one area that they really needed some work on, and they've done a good job putting resources in there, putting trainers in there. They will help you with JAWS or, anything that JAWS will work with, they will be happy to help you with.
Well, I bought this new Olympus recorder that is wonderful for doing on-the-spot interviews. And
Got one of those, huh?
Well, I told my wife when I bought it, I can't think of anything I can use this for. And she said, well, if you want it, buy it anyway. You're welcome to buy it. So I bought it, and this would be a great thing. Next time I come to town, you and I will go out to the Lighthouse, and we'll interview several people live and put a Blind Like Me show together from our adventures at the Lighthouse.
We can do that.
We could.
No problem.
Do you have, can you give an email address that if folks want more information on this thing, they could get a hold of you?
Sure.
All right, go ahead.
It is RLB19, RLB, Romeo Lincoln Bravo, 19, at HAL-PC.org. That's the Houston Area League of PC Users. Okay, I'll give it one more time.
All right.
RLB19 at HAL-PC.org.
And you have all the information anybody would need and be happy to correspond with...
I'd be happy to, yes.
To correspond with anybody about anything concerning blindness and...
If they want to call me, I'll give my phone number.
What a guy. Give it. Go ahead.
713-645-6370. 713-645-6370.
Well, what a nice fellow you are. A lot of folks don't like to give their phone number. I give mine all the time, and I never have any problem.
Well, I tell you one thing. I've had my email address posted on, I think, the ACBT site for a while. And
yeah.
I had a contact from a Brownie troop who I went out and talked to, and that was one of the most delightful things that ever happened.
That's kind of neat, huh?
We had Brownie scouts yesterday at our ACB or our HCB meeting, our Houston Council of the Blind meeting, selling Girl Scout cookies yesterday. So I've got Scout cookies today, Phil.
I've got Thin Mints in the fridge right now, and I've got to go get them. Listen, we're out of time, sir. I'm going to get with you and talk about this Dragon Boat thing within the next couple of weeks.
Let me know.
Tell Victoria hello.
I will do it. Say hi to Luann.
I'll talk to you, Bob. Thank you much.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.